Hello and welcome to Swiftly Spoken, a fan-made Taylor Swift podcast in which we break down her lyrics, deep dive into full album retrospectives, and theorise about what may be coming next. As always, we're your hosts Cameron and Lisa. In this episode, we're going to be discussing all the 1989 Taylor's Version rumours and theories, as well as going over what we know as we are quickly approaching the release of Taylor's next re-recorded album. Thanks for waiting for this episode, and we do apologise for the delay, but 2 weeks ago when we were about to record, unfortunately my ceiling basically caved in. We just were physically not able to record because I generally had no belongings, so literally it was as we were supposed to record, the whole lot came through. So we do apologise for the delay, but thanks for all the love on our last two episodes. The views are just on another level, so thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. And we're excited to kind of get back into it and get the ball rolling as we approach Eras Tour movie and 1989 Taylor's Version. So yeah, it's an exciting couple of months coming up. So yeah, we do apologise for the delay, but thanks for sticking around.
And the important thing, obviously, is that Cameron is safe and is back now. Yes. Everything's good. So... yeah, thank you for bearing with us.
The ceiling tried, but we're here.
So first we'll start off with everything we know about 1989 Taylor's Version, which basically is that the standard edition includes 21 tracks, 16 from the original album, 5 from the vault tracks, and the titles of those are Slut, Say Don't Go, Now That We Don't Talk, Suburban Legends, and Is It Over Now? So recently, as we weren't able to put out any episodes, we did try and keep you guys engaged with us by putting up some polls. And one of them was, which one of these tracks are people most excited for? Just, you know, from the names. And obviously the two big winners were, of course, Slut and also Suburban Legends. Cameron, what are you most excited for just from that lineup?
To be fair, I think similar to our listeners, I think Slut is obviously interesting. It's like, what kind of perspective is this going to be? I'm generally really intrigued by that. Suburban Legends as well, sounds like a really cool title.
I love that name.
But I'm also quite intrigued by, yeah, me too. Like, it feels very 1989, doesn't it? Like New York.
Yeah.
Like vibes, like, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't really describe what I think it would sound like, but it just sounds really cool. And I do like Is It Over Now? Like, that sounds, that feels very out of the woods.
It's also like, it's going to be the new final track. So it is very interesting to see that name. It's a question as well. Is it going to be about a certain relationship, or is it going to be more about kind of like a castle's crumbling kind of thing?
Yes, potentially.
I'm very, very intrigued about that one as well. Yeah, definitely.
But what about you? Which are the ones that are kind of sticking out?
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. Those three are the ones that most kind of stuck out to me. Suburban Legends, I just really like the ring to it. I like the connotation behind it, and I really want to see how she's going to spin it, because obviously, you know, Legends, obviously it reminds me a little bit about Folklore. Is Slut going to be in the vein of Blank Space, or is it going to be a really vulnerable track that she decided to hold back because
like
she had blank space?
I'm thinking that as well, and I think Say Don't Go as well is kind of giving me like All You Have to Do Is Stay.
Yeah, me too.
I think when you think of these titles, you try and ping them into, like, I think we did this with like Speak Now Taylor's Version of like All Castles Crumbling. I think we're like, that kind of gives us like a Long Live vibes, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I think you try and do the same thing of like, oh, does that ping in? And that's where I'm kind of situating them. Like you said, like, is Slut going to be more on the Blank Space end, or more of like the emotional clean kind of vibe? Is Say Don't Go gonna have the kind of All You Had to Do Was Stay moment? And Now That We Don't Talk again, it's like kind of I Wish You Would. Like, how's it all gonna work? So I'm really intrigued by the titles. I think they sound quite exciting. But yeah, the two big ones, yeah, Is It Over Now, Is It Over Now, Slut, Suburban Legends, all seem to be intriguing. But I think what's most exciting is that Taylor said that this is like her favorite re-recording today.
Yeah.
So clearly, I'm hoping that these, so hopefully this is going to knock the kind of vaults out of the park previously,
because,
you know, Red especially has got a very, very, very solid vault. So I'm excited if she can top that, because that would be a pretty impressive and remarkable kind of feat. So I'm really, really excited to hear these. And I think for the first time ever, I might maybe start with The Vault.
Straight to The Vault.
Just because I'm quite excited. Yeah.
Right.
I think I might just start with The Vault.
A lot of people discussing that they are going to go straight to Slut. Like, they're not going to go through in order, just because it is such an intriguing title. Like, you wouldn't have expected
exactly
that kind of title from her, at least definitely not in the 1989 era, but obviously now with hindsight it makes more sense. But Yeah, let us know what you guys are going to do. Are you going to go straight to the vault? Are you going to start at the beginning? I think I will start at the beginning because I use that to kind of wake up.
Bit of a tradition.
Yeah, just to kind of wake up.
To be fair, yeah, me too. The only thing is what I find is that then I kind of then become, I almost become a bit tired.
Right.
Because often it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I'm a bit like, okay, it's like 8 o'clock now and I've been up for like 2 hours, you know what I mean? Or 6 o'clock, whatever.
We are kind of looking at the shortest Taylor's version, to be honest with you. This is the least amount of vault tracks. There's no extra little tracks in there either. Obviously, Speaking Out was already quite a long album. Red, obviously, was just like the stuff that was put on there made it very, very long. 10-minute song. And Fearless had a lot because it obviously had its platinum version. Then she also added a few, singles from the era kind of onto there. So it made it much longer as well. 1989 is on one CD. It makes a difference.
Yeah, no, I think it might, to be fair. Because Speak Now, because Fearless, I went top to bottom. Red, I obviously started with All Too Well, 10, and then went from top to bottom. But I think, and then Speak Now, I did top to bottom.
Right.
But I think this time I might do Vault.
Yeah, why not?
And then go from the top. Because often I find, anyway, when the Taylor's versions come out, that I listen to the standard once, and then for about a week, all I'm really circulating is the vault.
With that vault, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah,
yeah. And then after about a week and a half, 2 weeks, then I start to then delve back into the standard track and listen to it more as an album rather than just the vault itself. So I'm intrigued. I might change my mind. I'm very last minute. I'll probably be like, no. I want to stick to the tradition of starting
right
from the top.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I'm thinking I might maybe just jump in with the vault because I am really quite intrigued by those
titles.
Oh, definitely.
She did a good job with the titles,
just
definitely to catch our attention, that's for sure. And talking about other songs from the eras that may or may not have been added to certain albums here or there as we've gone through these re-recordings, we now know that the Tangerine edition, the exclusive Target vinyl, includes one extra song, and that extra song is Sweeter Than Fiction, Taylor's version. So 1989 Truthers.
Very exciting. Oh, no.
We rise.
It does annoy me that, you've been proved right, because I am a hardcore. Sweet in the Fiction is red.
Yeah.
Red. It's literally got a red photo shoot as the single cover. It was released in 2013, not 2014. Therefore, we're still in the red era. She literally had bangs, you know what I mean? Like, and straight hair, long straight. Like, she was red Taylor. But. And I totally understand. Yes, it was the first Jack Antonoff.
Exactly.
Yes, it's a bit more poppy.
Yeah.
But I've always seen it as like the bridge between the two. But for
I
me,
know.
It's still, it's the bridge from Red to 1989. Therefore, it's from Red. So that means
right.
It's still
okay.
Red.
It's just in a bit of a strange moment. And it is definitely, for me, I don't know why I've always just associated it more, I guess, because of the Jack Antonoff, the sound and the production, and it makes sense for it in my head. But I do understand where you're coming from with the photo shoot, and it's still in the era of Red, to be honest with you, like you said, bangs and all. So I get that, but that is a fun little inclusion, because obviously when the vault tracks were announced and she kind of announced how many songs were on the album, it was a bit like, okay, so nothing extra from the era, but no, she's going full into her discography.
I think as well with obviously Sweet and Fiction is, even though I do argue, oh, it's red, realistically, it was made and released around the time that she was making, and she was making and crafting 1989.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's a bit like, you know, how with like Today Was a Fairy Tale was technically after Fearless, but it's still in that kind of sonic world. And even some of the Fearless songs were pulled from, pre-debut. So I guess Sweet and Fiction kind of falls into that category where it's kind of, it's almost like 1989 is like a planet and it's got like moons floating around it. It's almost like Sweet and Fiction is one of those moons that is kind of
such a cool metaphor
in its orbit.
yeah, it's around them.
It's like in the orbit. It might not technically be attached, but it is, does kind of circle that era. So I can get over it. And also it's just nice to have Sweet and Fiction, Taylor's version anyway. Like, that's just, I'm just glad we're going to get it in some shape, some form, hopefully.
Yeah, it's definitely an extra
we'll
treat, that's
more
for
than
sure.
Just a vinyl.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
like,
that's hopeful for an eventual, at least an eventual streaming platform, like with Hits Different or something. But it's definitely nice to have it, a great addition. Honestly, I love that song. So, and I think for many people it'll be a way to discover that song, because it is kind of like lost in the shuffle a little
bit. Yeah, it's slightly undiscovered, I think, Sweet Than Fiction. I see a lot of times on TikTok and stuff, people either not aware of it or discovering it for the first time. I think the announcement, I think Sweet Than Fiction had like its biggest day streams ever after it was announced that it was on the Tangerine, because probably lots of people were like, what the bloody hell's this song? And I saw lots of mixed reviews about it, but I've always loved Sweet Than Fiction. I don't know what it is. That song's just so fun.
I think it's quite emotional as well. Exciting. I don't know. It is sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I think it kind of has like Long Live-y vibes to it.
A little bit, yeah. Obviously, it's written for a movie.
Yeah, it's written
for Paul Potts.
Yeah, it's written about, Britain's Got Talent. But, you know.
I've always recontextualized it.
The sentiment.
Exactly. For Taylor. Yeah, exactly. Definitely. So, yeah, that's a very interesting addition. More things that we already know, of course, is that we have the four editions with their different colours, their Polaroids, and also the posters, which will include the original lyrics to Welcome to New York, New Romantics, Wildest Dreams, and Wonderland. Interesting.
Yes, I believe we've already seen the Welcome to New York.
It would seem so.
Original lyrics.
There are some lyrics that are hanging up in one of the, I can't remember which one it is.
If it's
the Taylor Swift Museum, the Grammy Museum. I don't know which one it is right now off the top of my head, but we have kind of seen them before. So I'm wondering if there is a previous draft to that. Perhaps?
Maybe, yes.
Is it going to be like an All Too Well situation? It's interesting to see these new lyrics. Lyrics. We do love a good...
The pair of us love an original lyric, so I'm really excited by Wildest Dreams.
We will be analysing.
Wonderland. Because we've got, the This Love original from the Lover Diaries, haven't we?
Yeah.
So it'll be exciting to add some more to it, especially, like New Romantics, Wildest Dreams, and Wonderland, to be fair. I'm really intrigued by what... if Wonderland was changed up. I hope that there is some I love it when there's different lyrics, because I love trying to work out how she would, like, you know, the 22 where it's like, we're going towards something hazy, a future can't see. Like, what? Yeah. That's so sick. Yeah. I want to hear that version.
Everything has changed. Version. Cut little hook moment, pre-chorus moment.
Everything is.
I just want to know you better. Hold you forever. Grow all
hold
together.
You forever.
Come on now.
Together. Oh, that should have been the lyrics. Are you kidding? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love them. I love to hear original stuff, so fingers crossed they should have some cool little new lyrics that obviously were kind of never actually used and changed up, but I love to see that, and I'm really excited by that, and I'm excited that there are different versions. I know there's lots of opinions about, you know, releasing multiple, but I think it's just exciting, isn't it, to have different things that you can get, and if you don't want to, you don't have to, and if you do, then it's really fun to kind of
and
collect.
It doesn't mean
so I'm excited
anything.
By the Polaroids. Means nothing, but yeah, I'm excited to get the Polaroids and try and get some of the original lyrics or just see them. I'm really excited by that. It's cool when we get, I've always, honestly, one of my favorite things Taylor ever did was those Lover Diaries, like
the insight
was so interesting, like, and I'm not someone that really is bothered about like knowing what her personal life I just love knowing about the songs and how they were crafted and just seeing those original lyrics and how she talked about stuff and revealing things like Nothing New, for example. I love that, so I love getting those kind of little insights and little nuggets of information that we haven't ever heard before.
Definitely, yeah, for sure. Finally, for things we know, as for collaborations from the vault, there is none, zero, which was surprising. Some people see this as more of like a symbolic thing, like 1989 was so full of so many people and the squad and all this, and in the end she's reclaiming it on her own independently. Other people find it suspicious. I personally, obviously the features are there to appeal to larger audiences, they're there to make the vault even more interesting to the general public. In the end they
add
are there
intrigue.
They're there to help sell the album as it is, if not the same album as what was released, you know, almost 10 years ago. It makes sense. It's very interesting. We'll get into it more in a bit, but I don't mind that there isn't any collaborations, to be honest with you.
Me too. I quite like the fact that it is just Taylor, because as we've said before, I feel like she, no one for me kind of beats her, and the way that she pronounces and the emotion she evokes and ingests into these songs. So I definitely am not bothered by that. I quite like the fact that it is just Taylor. And I guess maybe she might even have just thought, you know what, this vault's so good that it doesn't need anything else. The songs stand alone.
Right.
And I'm sure, and hopefully they will. I'm excited. I'm not too annoyed about not having. It is nice to have collaborations, but I quite like the fact that her biggest pop album and her probably one of her biggest albums, you know, other than Midnights, is just totally solo. I think that's quite cool. And I think she did that with Speak Now, where it was totally solo written. So it's nice to have another album that's totally her. Mm. And I guess maybe as a selling point, like with Red, its selling point being All Too Well 10.
Yeah.
Fearless was the nostalgia. Speak Now being total solo, right? And then 1989 being a total solo album. Mm. So yeah, I'm quite excited by that.
And as for producers, we have confirmation, obviously, Christopher Rowe worked on This Love with Taylor. Shellback did return for Wildest Dreams, so we're hoping he's going to be returning for the rest of the album. Ryan Tedder, we have complete confirmation. He said he will be back. So that means Welcome to New York and I Know Places. Probably safe. And of course, Jack Antonoff, Out of the Woods, I Wish You Would, You Are in Love. He's involved originally in all of them, so that's good news. The two big names that we don't know about yet, which do kind of make me nervous, and I hope they're both there. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but we know nothing about Max Martin or Imogen Heap.
I think, to be fair, the fact that she's pulled back Ryan Tedder is a big sign. Like, that's a really big sign. And even other, bar Nathan Chapman, like for Red, she pulled back the original producer for like Holy Ground and things like that. Mm. So I'd be amazed if she didn't pull back Imogen Heap. It is bizarre that Max Martin hasn't been a part of any of the ones that him and Shellback did.
Right.
So I am intrigued, like hopefully, because as we've mentioned before, Wildest Dreams, I don't understand people's problem with Wildest Dreams, Taylor's version. I think it sounds perfect. I love it. But I can admit that on Red, the pop songs were not great for Taylor's version.
Some of them,
they were lacking
just a little something.
Pop.
A little something.
Yeah, there was something, either the vocals or the production or pronounce. There was just something. It was just like, oh, this is just, it's like two steps away from being
perfect.
Perfect. Mm. You know, it was almost just like, ugh, it just felt like you're so close.
It is difficult.
So far.
Because it is already such a difficult process, but also when we are so fine-tuned into those songs. So there must be a lot of pressure. We've discussed this before. But yeah, let's hope that now that the projects are what they are, there's, you know, they're big in the music
industry. There's more focus on them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, people know that this has become a success. So we'll see. We'll see.
I think, and also it seems like there's more time been put into them now and more, not that there wasn't in the original.
No.
But I felt like with Fearless and Red, there was an element of not really knowing what the reaction was going to be. And it was almost just like, okay, let's just get these out and, you know, see how it goes. And now the reaction is so positive and so massive and so huge that they have time and money to really invest and make sure these are perfect. Mm. And the fact that the albums now have photo shoots, like a fully fledged photo shoot, not just, you know, a couple of pictures here and there or tagging on to others' photo shoots, they are given more just effort and general input. So fingers crossed. And I do think Imogen Heap, definitely.
I agree,
really,
to be
hoping
honest,
for Max Martin, because I can't have Blank Space or Shake It Off have a We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together Taylor's Version moment. Like, those songs are so iconic. Like, I don't listen to them really unless they kind of come on, because I don't go out my way. I think, you know what, I'd really like to listen to Shake It Off, like one of the most overplayed Taylor songs ever. But it's one of those songs, it's like, don't ruin it. You know what I mean?
I know. Because
it's like, please.
Yeah, so. It is so iconic. But let's just, you know, keep our fingers crossed, hope for the best. Whatever comes of it, we will obviously be streaming. As always, we will be reacting to everything whenever the album does come out. And you will hear our opinions when that happens. So that is everything we know as of now about the album. And now we're going to delve into the theories and rumors and discussions about what we don't know. I think, firstly, foremost, the most, you know, the biggest theory going around at the moment is the double album theory. So this one has been going around for quite a while. And as always, many Swifties have searched for Easter eggs that range from overanalyzing Taylor's clothes, what color clothing she's wearing, to once again bringing back the man graffiti wall and karma.
Jesus, if I see that... I wish, do you know one thing I wish she'd done on the Eras tour? Because obviously everyone shut up about the Lover House. Everyone shut up about the Lover House now because it's been burnt to a stake. It is Willow Burnt to a Stake Witch remix. And I wish she'd done the same with the bloody flipping man wall. Honestly.
Yeah, I think...
if I see that picture and someone overanalyzing that Fearless is backwards one more time, I'm going to like... honestly, it's like, Jesus, it was 2019. Four years ago.
I know she plans ahead, but things change. And I do think her plans for the re-recordings have also changed. She has said as much herself during the Eras tour. She has, you know, mentioned, you know, this was supposed to be more like a passion project. It has passion turned project, into something bigger. I don't know. At the same time, it is fun to sometimes see how some coincidences really work out, right? So if you are the wall, the man wall graffiti believer, that's fine. It's fun. But I too really just, can we just paint over it?
Honestly.
Let's move on.
If I would have ripped down that wall and tossed it into the Loverhouse flames and just let the pair of them go up in flames.
She made us like this though, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
this is but anyway, I do think we may be looking too far into it. However, the clues may just be much simpler. Some people believe that she's suddenly, because of all this black and blue tones, clothing, or the colours, some people believe she's randomly going to drop Reputation Taylor's version at the same time. Now, I don't think so. I really don't think that's going to happen. If that happens...
no, it wouldn't...
you can laugh
at me.
It wouldn't
give either album... yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can... I'll eat something awful that I would never eat. I can't think off the top of my head, but I just don't think you'd be giving either album justice. Like, at the end of
Reputation
the day, Taylor
needs
wants
its moment.
Records.
Yeah, they need their moment.
Taylor wants to break records. She wants number ones. Like, who doesn't? She wants album sales. Like, so it wouldn't make sense. It just wouldn't make sense. I just don't like it. It sounds really cool, and the whole glitch theory of, like, even on the Eras tour, when it flicks through the Eras, it does keep glitching to Reputation. And I think potentially that might be teasing to the way Reputation is going to be announced, and it might be more of a surprise drop.
Okay,
but I don't think it would be like on the release day of 1918. It would just confuse general public.
And, I do think so.
And people would be splitting streams across two albums. It would reduce...
1989 is a big album to be able
compete again.
Yeah, compete with, like, itself. So, like, with Fearless and Red, they have eventually taken over, like, they're more streamed than the original versions, right? And Speak Now will soon take over it. You know, it's... the re-recorded versions have soon caught up, but 1989, we've discussed this before, it's gonna be hard, it's hefty because it is her most popular album with the GP. It is her most renowned album. It's just there's no other way to put it. It's gonna be a difficult journey, which is why I think that maybe what we're gonna get into might make some sense. But before we do get into it, I just wanted to give a quick disclaimer. When we do speak about these things and about, extra tracks or another part of the album, we don't care if it doesn't happen. Like, this is not us demanding more. This is not us saying that 1989 Taylor's version isn't enough. We're just having fun. We're just looking into things as Swifties do. We're just going to discuss it just as a fun thing. She's given us already so much music in the last few years. And demand more is unfair.
More than we could ever imagine. Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Like, more music than we could ever imagine, and like, it's bonkers really. Like, and the thing is, I think we're from the kind of age of, you wait 2 years and you get 13 songs, and then you gotta wait another two years and you can have a couple more, you know what I mean? It is like, wow, we have just had so much music. So like,
we're spoiled,
definitely
really.
Not demanding, quite the opposite.
With that being said, firstly, I think it's interesting to remark how much 1989 Taylor's version has followed Midnight's release and promotion to a T. There's four versions. They're all color variants. They're all based on themes or lyrics from the album. We have one deluxe or special version, which is like exclusive to Target and has an exclusive track, Sweeter Than Fiction and Hits Different. Technically, we don't really have a lead single. Obviously, we of course already got Wildest Dreams and This Love back in the day, but you know, different situation. The back covers fit together perfectly. You know, like Midnight's was a clock. 1989 has the four, you know, 1989 on it. We have a special shelving unit kind of like being sold to put them up in. So because of all this, it might make sense that just as Midnight's had a 3 a.m. version, 1989 might also have some secret extra version released as a surprise. How would you feel about it?
That would be sick. Like, that would be so cool. The release is, it is, like you said, just almost identical. It's just so identical to the way Midnights was released, and it would make sense to do that. And I think that that's very likely. And I was trying to think when we got that, because for Midnights we got that video, didn't we, of like
the manifest?
Of the like notebook telling you all the dates. And I'd be intrigued if we get something like that, because obviously that would give it away.
That would, yeah.
But yeah, hopefully, I that would be really cool. I'd love like a little extra, kind of like a 3 a.m. edition.
Mm.
I don't know what she'd call it.
I know, I was just thinking that. I have no idea. I'm not that creative.
Because 1989, like, what would you, yeah.
1989.
I don't know what you'd call it.
Some people work, because obviously there's black and white theory as well. Like, 1989 standard would be, like, more of the white pastel-y one, and then there's going to be a darker side to it. So that was another theory. I don't know.
Yeah, or maybe it might be 1989 Karma version or something.
Oh my God, no. I don't need to hear that word anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and then have like 6 or 7 tracks a bit like Midnight's 3 a.m. I think that'd be really cool. I would love that. Because the Midnight's 3 a.m. tracks, for me, are so like good. An EP. Like, they're so good, and they stand alone as a little... I almost see them, even though I see them in the Midnight's world, I see them as almost slightly separate. They are sonically very different, and they just have a very different... I feel like they're almost more... like honest and a bit more like, ooh.
Oh no, she did a brilliant job, you know, at naming them and getting them songs. I mean, like, no, they make sense to be the 3 a.m. songs. You're completely correct. I agree with you. They are more raw, more honest, more like
chaotic.
Yeah. We now are in the moment, you know, things have broken down one way, the other. It's a bit of more of an eclectic sound. There's more going on. Mm. Yeah. And they're very, very revealing. Like, those lyrics for some of them are.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So I'd totally be down for that. 100%.
So then we have some people thinking, so this I have to shout out to a Reddit user called Pyshaw, who was so ahead of their time, because they posted about this like 2 years ago, saying that,
no way.
Yeah, a dual album collab conspiracy theory 2 years ago. So if this comes true, that person has to feel so proud of themselves, honestly. But one of the things they were speaking about was, what if she releases alongside 1989? And this is something that we have also discussed previously. What if she was to do kind of like the double album theory, but one album is just her with her normal production, and the other album is 1989 once again, but more of an acoustic or country moment akin to what Ryan Adams did with 1989 back in the day?
I feel like she could do that, but I don't think it'd be country.
Right.
I don't think she'd lean into that when everything about 1989 was leaning away from that.
I agree.
It would be quite weird to then go back into something that era was running away from.
More just stripped back kind of thing.
Maybe, or just a general change up of the sonic sound.
Grammy so like, versions. You know, the Grammy Hall of Fame with the piano for Out of the Woods.
Exactly.
Electric guitar for Wildest Dreams, is it? Mm.
Yeah. Electric for Wildest, acoustic guitar for Blank Space and How You Get the Girl. And I was thinking also the 1989 World Tour had like the coolest remixes ever of like I Knew You Were Trouble, We're Never Ever Getting Back Together, and like Love Story. So potentially she might maybe put some other Taylor Swift songs from previous albums.
Interesting.
With a pop mix, like the Love Story pop mix.
I know.
So it might potentially have something like that.
People die for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. Rock version. I know people version. Love that very much.
Or Enchanted Wildest Dreams, that live version. And it doesn't stop. It goes on, and she keeps going, and then she rips off the dress, and then she keeps going. Oh, that. I would kill for that.
So that's interesting as well.
So potentially, I think that would be good. But country, I'd be amazed.
Surprised.
Because that would... Poor 2014 Taylor would literally like...
rip her hair out. She'd be like, oh, sorry.
She'd be like, what are you doing? Yeah. She was like, all I was trying to do was get away from country music, and now you've decided to release it as a country version.
It would be ironic, but...
It would kind of, yeah.
Interesting.
It would be weird, but I think potentially that would be quite a cool thing, but it would be also quite a mission.
Oh, yeah.
Having to, like, do the songs twice. Oh, yeah. And then also potentially you might then... People... Like, there's a difference between having, like, you know... just having a remix of something with like an extra artist shoved on it.
Then just another
and then totally changing, then like totally changing up the song that, that basically means that people wouldn't listen to. Because you might think, oh, I much prefer the acoustic version of All You Had to Do Was Say, and no one would ever listen to the pop. You know, like, I don't know. I don't really know the laws of streaming.
But... look at like Kelsea and Ballerini, the two albums. And
very true.
It's very, very true. Loved that premise. Like the
oh, that concept's incredible.
Yeah, and that the specific moment in time lent itself to that. But look at Future Nostalgia on Club Future Nostalgia.
Yeah,
it can be done, but I don't know. We shall see. That's one of the things that is being bounced around. Like the other thing I'm kind of on board with is the feature theory. Taylor could release 1989 tracks, but remixed with different artists. So think of Karma featuring Ice Spice, Antihero featuring Jack Antonoff, or even Storm on the Beach featuring Morlana. It's interesting. It's the thing that is happening at the moment. Passenger, who is one of my favorite artists of all time, he is currently re-releasing a 10th anniversary edition of All the Little Lights, which is an iconic album within his discography. It's the one Let Her Go is on originally. And to kind of make it different and revive it, he's changing things up a bit. And for example, Let Her Go is going to now be a feature with Ed Sheeran. So, and you know, Gabriella Aplin is going to be on there. It's an interesting way to appeal to people with the same music as what you once already released, but in a different way.
Exactly. And yeah, that is very true, actually. So yeah, I don't think that's unrealistic now. Maybe I was a bit like, oh, hesitant. But I think actually that it is quite a popular trend to do that.
I think so, yeah. The biggest thing we'll for me is the lack of Kendrick Lamar Bad Blood remixed version. That's what most screams to me. Something isn't... why not?
Like, why is that?
We have seen them hang out.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen them go to a same part. I mean, obviously, maybe he didn't want to be involved. Maybe there's more things going on behind the scenes. But why wouldn't he, though?
Like
Taylor has reacted to the You Forgive, You Forget, But You Never Let It Go on the tour. She loves that chant. So, it's a strange one to me.
Yeah, and also Bad Blood, that was the single. Like, the single wasn't the original album version of Bad Blood. It was the Kendrick version. That's the one that had the music video. And even the production on the original 1989 tour, even though it was the album version in terms of lyrics, the production was the Kendrick version.
Yeah.
Like, that was the
version. And
even
on the Eras tour, it's not... we're not really getting all of her verses. We're getting chorus, bridge, and in the bridge, us as fans, actors... as Kendrick's little part in it. So, yeah, I don't know. The lack of it is interesting to me.
It's bizarre. Yeah, it is slightly bizarre. I did think for a while that the Kendrick version was going to be on that Tangerine vinyl. I thought,
but when that was revealed that it wasn't, the plot thickens. You know?
I was like, because then it would mean that there's still, once she completed all the Taylor's versions, if this never got released, there would still be
something out there.
A very popular song.
Yeah. We kind of classified this as one of the S-tier remixes.
Oh, this is, top tier, if not the best remix Taylor's ever released of any song. So yeah, I would be amazed. So that is, I think that's where all of these double album theory things are springing from, because it just doesn't make sense not to give it a Taylor's version. Like, it makes no sense. But then, and it's weird because I do wonder if she'll do this again. You know how she did with, like,
true.
Eyes Open, Safe
Very
safe
true.
And
they
sound.
Were just random drops.
If there would be something like that.
It hurts my heart. That, you know. They won't ever, like, properly have a home. It's like...
have, like, a home,
They're just out there in the world.
Yeah.
poor babies.
Exactly,
give them a physical home.
And it is, you know, like, how my... you know, like how my thing of like they're like little moons spinning around, and they're just like lost
a little satellites.
Bit. They are attached, but they're also they're not satellites. That's probably a better way to describe them, actually. We'll see, but she might do something like that, and I hope she does, because I feel like there is a couple more floating around here and there that need homes, and maybe Sweet and Fiction might be included in that drop, and that's how it might get a streaming service.
Very true.
We'll see.
To round this off, I thought we could talk about our dream potential remixed collaboration. So if you think of 1989, you guys can also comment down below, let us know who would you love to sing on a remix version of a song that you already know, kind of like Bad Blood and Kendrick's Bad Blood. Who do you think would heighten certain songs? So for example, obviously one that we have banged on about for many for a long time. Not to keep going on about it, but the Harry Styles style. A lot of people are very, very adamant, and other people really, really hate the idea. So that's kind of like the vibe that we would be going for here. So is there anyone that you would love to see a song be remixed with?
I think Sabrina, I think she would work really well. And I think with the slut thing, I thought, oh, Sabrina's 100% on that, because obviously, because I liked a boy, all of her merchandise says it. Like, I was like, oh, and then I was quite surprised when she wasn't. So Sabrina, I'd really, really like. I also would really, I think it's so long overdue, a Selena song, but then maybe Selena might be more akin to Reputation.
Yeah, yeah. I see, yeah.
And to be fair, Kelsey, but for me, Kelsey is country, so I feel like she...
Debut.
I really, really thought Kelsey was going to be on
Kelsey
Speak
Now.
Kelsey
can be on debut.
So yeah, she might be on debut now. Yeah, I think, debut. I think like Tim McGraw, Kelsey would be really, really cool on debut. So fingers crossed. But other than that, I don't know. I just don't really know who else pop-wise I would really like on it.
No, that's fair enough. Great choices, honestly. Like Sabrina Carpenter, for example, I really did think that she would be on one of those Vault songs. Just because...
Me too. She's been teasing a little bit here and there, talking about how she loves a collaboration when someone mentioned 1989 and Red Taylor's version. She's like, oh, I love a collaboration.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh,
like, where
are
you going with that? Yeah. We were like sending it to each other. You sent me that one in specific and you were like, and I was like, oh, I get it now. So it just is strange to me. Also, Haim, they kind of, on the last few dates of the Eras tour, they kept going on about in their little, you know, set at the beginning, at the end, in their little speech, they kept going on like, oh yeah, we really loved the 1989 World Tour, especially New Romantics. Why were they talking about that song in specific? Somebody explain this to me. There's too many things that are suspicious.
Yeah, because that was like setlist track 2, and didn't really have like a big moment or anything. You know, didn't have like a big production moment. It was quite weird.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't know, Haim. I don't know if Haim sonically...
It is a bit, yeah, it is a bit of a mishmash. But then again, 1989 is a bit of a mishmash era, if you think about it. Obviously, sonically cohesive. But when you think of all of those guests on the 1989 World Tour, like, they were just all over the spectrum of different artists, of, you know, different genres, and, you know, from different styles, song. So maybe. Other names that have been floating around include Nicki Minaj, Lorde, Bleachers.
Yeah, that amazes me. Nicki Minaj, I thought that was...
Right?
Like, with the whole Sagittarius thing, I was like, oh, 100%.
It's just, everything is very weird. There's things that don't add up, that maybe we're just reading too far into it, and that's no problems if we are, because it doesn't matter.
Maybe.
I'm pretty happy with 1989 being a solo version. But there's certain things that just seem to be suspicious, let's just say.
It's a bit like that interview she did. I can't think of the guy's name, Stephen something, with the pizza.
Wait, what was that all about?
Like, that was just
really
like,
just
what?
Laughing at us?
Yeah, like, that was what? It. Yeah, like, we, that was just weird.
Carly Rae Jepsen as well, I've heard a lot of people speaking about. Also, Gracie Abrams, who also made some comments about the 1989 World Tour, and has also been an opener for the Eras Tour. So, a lot of interesting names. Like I said, let us know which songs you would like to see remixed with different artists, and how do you think they can, like, kind of mold it to their style a little bit more. These are just some of the examples, but like Nicki Minaj, what song could she remix? Obviously, everyone always talks about Bad Blood because we already have seen it in a remix. Katy Perry was also rumored to be on a remix of Bad Blood back in the day, but because we've already seen Bad Blood remix, so we can kind of visualize how it would be. But think about, I don't know, a random song. All you had to do was stay with someone.
All you had to do was stay. That's so weird that both of us said that. Yeah, all you had to do was stay with Nicki. I
can
think
imagine.
That could work.
And she, it's a bit of like a...
Yeah, and then like...
And she goes off on it.
Like, yeah, you should stay with me, whatever. Yeah, exactly, yeah. No, I think that one could work, you know. That's weird that both of us, that pinged in both our heads. I think
maybe
work.
We're getting a feeling. Sometimes we get weird, we say weird things on the podcast and then they suddenly come true. So...
It happens.
Yeah.
We'll see. We've now come to the end of this episode. We hope that you enjoyed hearing theories, confirmed information, all of the above about 1989 Taylor's version. And we are so excited for its release. And also the Eras Tour movie release. We will both be going to the Eras Tour, which we're both really excited about. So we'll let you know our thoughts all about that. Lisa's been planning her outfits, friendship bracelets all week. I've not been as organised.
Yep.
But we are both very, very excited for that. Yeah, my ceiling put an end to any form of organisation, so that went down the pan. But anyways, thanks again for listening. If you did enjoy this episode, then please give us a like over on YouTube and also subscribe to us on YouTube. And also make sure that you follow us over on Instagram to keep up to date with bonus episodes and just general other content. Our handle is at Swiftly Spoken Podcast. And also make sure that give us a like and review over on Spotify and Apple Music as well. And thanks again for listening, and we will see you soon.